Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today's gospel reading, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is our text. So what was your week like? To reflect back on the last 7 days, what kind of a week did you have? Were you busy and active with much serving, on the go and preoccupied with your work like Martha as you welcomed Jesus into your life? Or were you quiet and contemplative like Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching? Was yours a Martha week or a Mary week? For me, it was much more Martha than Mary, and I've got a hunch that the same could be said for all of those who helped with our vacation Bible school. And thank you to those who did. Here at church, at least, it was a week of hospitality, of welcoming and serving 17 little ones in Jesus' name. And as our Lord said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Think about what that means. As we welcomed and spent time with children this week, it means we were also serving Jesus. A Martha week. There's other kind of Martha work as well, and some of you maybe had Martha weeks like these. There are more things that Jesus identifies as serving him. When all nations are gathered before him and he separates the sheep from the goats, do you remember what he says to those astonished sheep as they inherit the kingdom prepared for them before the foundation of the world? Whenever in the flow of everyday life, Christians serve others with food or drink, or show hospitality, or clothe those in need, or visit the sick, or offer encouragement to those in prison, truly, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me, Jesus says. In all these things, you serve me. And what about the regular work of your life? Your job, time volunteering and helping others, responsibilities at home and in your family, the duties of friendship? Unless you're sick, injured, or have some other limitation, and some of us do bear such crosses and we would gladly be rid of them, unless we simply can't, then there's a whole lot of Martha in many of our lives as well. The daily interruptions and demands of real life that come in the form of a baby crying or a desperate phone call or running an errand for a friend or a request for prayer. And I know such things don't look or feel like ways of serving Jesus, but they are. Whether or not we perceive Jesus, he's there in the neighbor receiving what we do. Of all our callings from God, our vocations, the relationships that are simply part and parcel of being human, living in the body in time and space, about these things St. Paul says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So even your everyday life, your regular vocations, the things you do all throughout the week, even those things are things done serving Jesus. And one small subset of that service is our service in the church to our brothers and sisters here. If you're on the servitor list today, if you're serving in the congregation in some way this week, then you're called to be a little Martha serving Jesus among us. And about all these things, whether it's VBS or the good works done by a Christian or our callings at home and at church and in the world, we should be clear. Much of it is necessary and all of it is good. when it's done in faith. If we're able, we should be busy and active, busy with serving or with preparing to serve our neighbors in the Lord. Now, many of us, I know, carry a burden of guilt for not having done more or not having done better. We genuinely want to serve Jesus in these ways, and yet, like St. Paul, we say, I do not do the good that I want. If your conscience is accusing you, if it's telling you that you've done too little or done too poorly, or that what you've done with a sinful attitude, I'm right there with you. We're poor, miserable sinners, even when we try to be the best to be good Marthas. Now, I don't want you to understand this Mary and Martha passage. Even when Jesus gently and lovingly chides Martha, it's not because she was working to serve him. Her work was not the issue. What she was doing was good. And yes, in the big picture, Jesus came not to be served. But in day-to-day matters of this life, of his body, he received service. He permitted himself to be anointed with oil. Some of the women provided for him and his apostles out of their own means, and it even says in one place that he had nowhere to lay his head. So don't think that what Martha is doing is bad. Providing him with food and drink and shelter and so on, like Martha did, is good. As is doing such things in his name for others. Would that we all had Martha's heart for the Lord. So if it's not her serving that's a problem, then what is the problem? It's not what Martha was doing, but how she's doing it. She was distracted. It literally means she was being dragged around with her serving. You can imagine what it would be like if you suddenly had more than a dozen people over for dinner or coming to stay at your house. You'd be in a tizzy, too. And so Martha was. And in her tizzy, she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Why isn't she in a tizzy like I am? And you see what's happened. First, Martha begins to think of serving Jesus as a burden rather than a joy. She sees it as a trial instead of a blessing to be able to serve her Lord. Second, instead of keeping her focus on Jesus as she serves, she focuses on her sister and becomes annoyed with her. And third, she draws attention to herself and her own work, especially in comparing it to Mary. Martha's serving is good, but she allows it to become an occasion for sin. And isn't that often the way it is for us as well? Martha, Martha, Jesus says, he knows his sheep, he calls them by name. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Can you hear the tenderness? Can you hear the compassion in our Lord's voice? Do you hear how his heart goes out to her in her anxious and troubled state? How his heart goes out to you when your serving drags you around and begins to feel like a burden and you lose your focus on him and you start to resent others? Jesus calls her by name and he draws her attention. And what he gently and lovingly identifies and removes like a skilled surgeon is the anxiety and trouble that she brings to her serving. Oh yes, Martha, I care. Do you know how much I care? I care enough to listen to your complaint, and I care enough to take the many things that you lay on me, including your sins and your failures and your resentments. I care enough to give you a far better portion in return. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. To serve is good, and yet serving is valuable only for this life. So keep things in perspective. One thing is eternal. One thing will last. One thing remains forever. And it's not what Martha's doing. It's what Jesus is doing. It's what he's serving. It's the portion that comes from his sacrifice and from his table. By sitting at Jesus' feet, Mary has chosen the good, the better, the eternal portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus won't allow his words to be taken out of Mary's ears, and he won't allow Mary to be taken away from him. Don't be so distracted and concerned about doing good that you neglect the one thing needful. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Hear God's word. Receive the good portion. And when I hear this, I hear more than just a rebuke from Jesus. More than just Jesus comparing Martha to Mary and how much better what Mary is doing is. No, I hear it as an offer. He is offering here to Martha the same good portion that Mary received. So hear it as an invitation to sit at his feet and rest for a while. Hear it as an invitation to be served by him and to receive his hospitality. Come, Martha, and set down your bread and cup, and take the bread I give and the cup I fill. Jesus welcomes you. He receives you into his house. He spreads a feast for you in his word. For the good portion, the best portion, the eternal portion is found at the feet of Jesus. A sinful woman who wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment found there at Jesus' feet what she most needed. Your sins are forgiven. And what did the man once possessed by demons do after Jesus liberated him? He was at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. St. Augustine describes Mary like this. I think it's really lovely, the image he gives. He says, Mary sat at the feet of our head. The more lowly she sat, the more abundantly did she receive. For the water flows together to the low hollows of the valley. It runs down from the risings of the hill. Like water running down a mountainside, grace and mercy cascade from Jesus to those who sit at his feet, to you. And my hope is built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. To be at the feet of Jesus is to be at the foot of the cross. From his head, his hands, his heart, his feet, the good portion streams. Thou preparest a table before me. My cup runneth over. The mercy and goodness of Jesus fill us, and they follow us. He gives the one thing necessary. He gives the better portion, and it will not be taken away from us, just as it wasn't taken away from Mary or from Martha. From Mary, learn to listen and to keep on listening. Hold what Jesus says sacred. Gladly hear and learn it. Be a hollow of the valley that floods with his word. From the risings of Calvary, grace runs down. Be filled with that grace. Believe what he says. Your sins are forgiven. You are holy and blameless and above reproach in Jesus Christ, and your serving is purified and made holy by his blood. Christ lives in you, and he works in and through you for good. What he does is enough. The best portion is the portion Jesus serves, and he is serving it to you. And what he serves and what you receive at his feet, the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the love and the life and the salvation, will not be taken away from you. In fact, not even death could take him or his gifts away. So Martha, hear you are, like Mary, receiving Jesus' divine service. Here you are sitting at his feet, listening to his word. Here you are having the good portion of his body and his blood. Here Jesus has served and is serving and will continue to serve you, even as you spend so much of your time in serving others. And I'll tell you, for Jesus, it's no anxiety or trouble at all. For him to serve is not a trial or a burden, but it is a joy and a gift. And he does it again and again and again. He loves to serve you. He loves to serve you with his life. So I'll ask again, what was your week like? And what will this coming week bring? Will it be a Martha week or a Mary week? What started for me like Martha has ended like Mary. So work like Martha, but let Jesus deal with the anxiety and trouble, and sit like Mary to receive the good things at his feet. But let's wrap up the week and begin the next one, not with our eyes on either of them, but on the one thing necessary, on Jesus. And may you have a Jesus week filled with him and his grace and mercy. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.